Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Padvaja Kacharya Astro Tadasata Sushimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Kijai Jam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Padvaja Kacharya Astro Tadasata Sushimad Sringa Guru Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Kijai Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Kijai ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Premsikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Kijai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gopi Gopinath Shamakund, Radhakund Nigita Govardhan Kijai. Vrindavan Dham Kijai, Mayapur Dham Kijai, Navadip Dham Kijai, Tosi Devi Bhakti Devi Kijai, Jamuna Maya Gangamaya Kijai, Nu Dwarka Dham Kijai. Their Divine Lordship, Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish Kijai. Their Divine Lordship, Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev Srimati Subhadra Kijai. Their Divine Lordship, Shishi Gornitai Kijai. Transcendental Book Distribution Kijai. Harinam Sankirtan Jaga Kijai. Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Kijai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories to all the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to all the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to all the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Shishi Guru, Shri Guranga Gosura Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the third canto, chapter 20. Conversations between Maitreya and Vidura. So today's topic will be the soul's journey home. We're going to trace the path by which lost souls return through Guru and grace. So I'm excited about the message in this chapter. It shows us how we can attain self-realization and a spiritual vision unclouded by illusion or lust. So this lifts us above the plane of the demons who chase false beauty and it puts us in touch with Krishna. So the three topics I'm going to discuss today is the summary of the chapter, just a little. And then, of course, Vidura. And then the third part is we're going to talk about Bhagavata Katha, which is the destroyer of sins. It's like the Ganges within us. But three parts to that Bhagavata Katha, it will be first to discuss the problem, the solution, and the benefit. So we're going to discover some ancient secrets to enable us to cut through the illusion of this base desires that we have. So let's dive into the verse. Kim avaprichan maitreyam virajas tirta sevaya upagamya kushavarta asinam tatvavitamam Kimava preachan maitreyam Virajastirtasevaya. Upagamya kusavarta. Asinam tatvavitamam. Kimava prichan maitreyam. Virajastirtasevaya. Upagamya kushavarta. Asinam tatvavitamam. Vittamam Kimava Prichan Maitreyam Virajastirta Sevaya Divana Masarpartam Asantanam Tatavitamam Maitreyam Virajastirta Sevaya Upagamya Svavarta Sivam Tatvavitamam Kimavaprichan Maitreyam Virajastirta Sevaya Upagamya kushavarta. Asinam tatvavitamam. Kiman va prichan maitreyam. Jastirta sevaya. Upagamya kushavarta. Asinam tatvavitamam. Kimavaprichan maitreyam. Virajastirta sevaya. Upagamya kusavarta. Asinam tatvavitamam. Vaishnavis. Kimavaprichan maitreyam. Kimavaprichanatevaya. Upagamya kushavarta. Asinam tatvavitamam. Kimavaprichan maitreyam. Asinam tatvavittamam. Kimavacham vainatyam. Vatirta sevaya. Upagamya kusavarta. Asanam tatvavittamam. Kim. What? Anvaprichat inquired Maitreyam from the sage Maitreya Viraja Vidura, who was without material contamination. Tirtha Sevaya, by visiting sacred places. Upagamya, having met. Kushavarte, at Kushavarta. Haridwar or Haridwar. Haridwar, yeah. Asinam, who is abiding. Tattvavittamam. The foremost knower of the science of spiritual life. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vidura was purified of all passion by wandering in sacred places. And at last he reached Hardwar, where he met the great sage who knew the science of spiritual life. And he inquired from him. Shonakarishi therefore asked, what more did Vidura inquire from Maitreya? Purport. Here the words Virajas Tirtha Sevaya refer to Vidura, who was completely cleansed of all contamination by traveling to places of pilgrimage. In India, there are hundreds of sacred places of pilgrimage, of which Prayag, Hardwar, Vrindavan, and Rameshwaram are considered principal. After leaving his home, which was full of politics and diplomacy, Vidura wanted to purify himself by traveling to all the sacred places, which are so situated that anyone who goes there automatically becomes purified. This is especially true in Vrindavan. Any person may go there, and even if he is sinful, he will at once contact an atmosphere of spiritual life and will automatically chant the names of Krishna and Radha. That we have actually seen and experienced. It is recommended in the Shastras that after retiring from active life and accepting the Vanaprast retired order, one should travel everywhere to places of pilgrimage in order to purify himself. Vidura completely discharged this duty, and at last he reached Kushavarta, or Hardwar, where the sage Maitreya was sitting. Another significant point is that one must go to a sacred places not to only take bath there, but to search out great sages like Maitreya and take instructions from them. If one does not do so, his traveling to places of pilgrimage is simply a waste of time. Excuse me. Narottama Das Thakur, a great acharya of the Vaishnava sect, has for the present forbidden us to go to such places of pilgrimage because in this age, the times have so changed, a sincere person may have a different impression on seeing the behavior of the present residents of the pilgrimage sites. He has recommended that instead of taking the trouble to travel to such places, one should concentrate his mind on Govinda, and that will help him. Of course, to concentrate one's mind on Govinda in any place is a path meant for those who are most spiritually advanced. It is not for ordinary persons. Ordinary persons may still derive benefit from traveling to holy places like Prayag, Mathura, Vrindavan, and Hardwar. First Prabhupada says no, and then he says, okay, you could do that. It is recommended in this verse that one find a person who knows the science of God or a tattvavit. Tattvavit means one who knows the absolute truth. There are many pseudo-transcendentalists, even at places of pilgrimage. Such men are always present, and one has to be intelligent enough to find the actual person to be consulted. Then one's attempt to progress by traveling to different holy places will be successful. One has to be freed from all contamination, and at the same time, he has to find a person who knows the science of Krishna. Krishna helps a sincere person, as stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Guru Krishna Prasad. By the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, one attains the path of salvation. Devotional service. If one sincerely searches for spiritual salvation, then Krishna, being situated in everyone's heart, gives him the intelligence to find a suitable spiritual master. By the grace of the spiritual master, like Maitreya, one gets the proper instruction and advances in spiritual life. Jai. Om Gyana Tumadanda Shya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshushun Manitamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitamyena Bhutale Swayamaprakatamayam Dilati Swapatantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shirasari Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tuvischa Kripasindhu Vivicha Patitadam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Okay, so the verse again. Vidura was purified of all passion by wandering in sacred places, and at last he reached Hardwar, where he met the great sage who knew the science of spiritual life, and he inquired from him. Shonakarishi therefore asked, what more did Vidura inquire from Maitreya? Jai. So I think a summary here we'll start off with. And this is chapter 20. We're here. Conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. And so we're just in the beginning. That's why we're kind of doing a little summary here. So we're in text number 4. And this chapter pretty much shows the entrapment. Even exalted beings, they face due to lust and ignorance, which provokes curiosity and spiritual techniques so that they can escape. So it's very intriguing. It intrigues us, this chapter. It reveals a lot of mystifying pastimes while underscoring the importance of self-realization. So here's some. So then we go to this section here where Vidura is talked about and Harikatha is talked about. So these are the second and third topics we're going to discuss today in that area. But then it goes on to talk about creation. Sarga, which refers to creation or a projection of the cosmic manifestation, which is produced from Krishna. And so this is the third time creation is discussed so far. And then there's going to be a fourth time towards the end of this chapter with Kapila Muni. I mean, his canto, and which he describes to his mother. Of course, it'll be described in the 11th and 12th cantos also. So it's important. So here it's described how in this chapter it talks about the absolute truth, the three features. There is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And Bhagavan refers to the personal form, which is the source of the divine energies and the expansions that make up creation. So Vishnu impregnates the material nature, causing it to give birth to this endless universes. So this is God initiates the Sarga, which is going to be discussed. And then it talks about the Visarga, which Brahma is empowered by Vishnu to perform. So Vishnu is the primordial source, and then he stirs nature to generate grand cosmic forms. So that's the interplay between Bhagavan Sarga and the empowered beings who carry out Visarga under their divine direction. So that's Visarga is the secondary creation. So that's going to be discussed for a while there. So as we go through the chapter, we'll see there as you scroll down, it shows how Brahma creates various living entities, demons, demigods, ghosts, sages, and explains how the demons were lusty by nature, and they even attacked Brahma. So he had approached Lord Vishnu for protection, and how they became attracted to the twilight, the illusory form of the twilight, and the demons mistakenly took it as a beautiful woman, and they were enchanted by it. And then it explains how Brahma gave up his body and transformed into various creatures. He talks about Shraddha, and also talks about how the ultimate message is that spiritual life is to please Krishna. That's most important, not material enjoyment. Even if you live on heavenly planets, you know, and all rituals are meant to elevate one to this self-realization. So basically it's talking about, there's a nice like quote, I guess you could say. It says, the difference between demons and demigods is that A beautiful woman easily attracts the minds of demons, but she cannot attract the mind of a godly person. So that shows the... So there's a lot of suggestions in this chapter that implores us to seek wisdom from saints. We'll see how it's approaching Maitreya. And it helps us understand detachment from turmoil and power struggles, and how we should visit holy, undertake pilgrimages, and how to perform purifying rituals during the pilgrimage, and how to hear sacred teachings, and contemplate these higher realities, and we gain realization of the eternal soul. So this awakens our inner purification of self-realization. And then ultimately, we should share this knowledge. So it should be widely preached, this realization. So here we see it. Here's our first part, the summary of Vidura. So Vidura, he served it as an advisor to the cruel kings. And he tried to guide them toward Dharma. You can just imagine what the assembly house is like. You know, all these great warriors there, like lions, it's described. And Vidura was among them. He received spiritual wisdom from the sage Maitreya. And he warned against the Kurukshetra war, and he supported the Pandavas. So, but the essential message is that Vidura exemplified true spiritual wisdom, devotion, renunciation. Even though he was born in a low status, he rose above the external designations through his learning, his ethical conduct, and absorption of self-realization. So even while serving in worldly affairs, he still remained detached and ever absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. And wherever he traveled, his consciousness, his words, they transmitted spiritual enlightenment. So his life illustrates how realization actually triumphs over birth and power of devotional wisdom to uplift others. So this is his detachment, his self-inquiry, his God-centeredness was his actual path to freedom. So here we see more, even in intimate settings, he would try to instruct the king. And this is that time when, you know, he tried to instruct him to just, he would tell the truth. He wasn't afraid to tell the truth. He was bold. And he told it like it is, even though we know what happened. So it describes there, in this chapter, where it explains and has explained that, you know, he was a great devotee, a friend of Lord Krishna. And his elder brother, he left him because he was playing tricks against Krishna and against the desires of Krishna. So it actually praises his exemplary actions, stating that a devotee should not tolerate misbehavior towards Krishna or his devotees. And he's also being described as being completely cleansed of all contamination. How? By traveling to all these holy places of pilgrimage. And this purified him and allowed him to approach that great Maitreya for spiritual guidance. So even though he was born of a Sudra mother, as we heard from yesterday from Archita, that he was honored as being equal in quality to his father despite his birth. So the chapter actually notes how Vidura wholeheartedly accepted Krishna, and he was attached to the devotees. So his exemplary devotion allowed him to perform this crucial act of rejecting company not centered on devotion. So basically the 3 points that about Vidura is that he was a fearless advisor, he had equal vision, he had devotion, he had renunciation, and he was a humble seeker of knowledge. So this is where he left the company of his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, because Dhritarashtra and his son were playing tricks, as we mentioned. So this just demonstrates his devotion to Krishna over worldly family relations. So this is seen as an example that we shouldn't tolerate that misbehavior. And it glorifies Vidura's ability to reject association that isn't centered on devotion. So this is nicely described. So, we see he's an ideal devotee to learn from, And the word devotee actually comes from, I think it's a Latin word, devoto, which means to live by a vow. And that's what makes a devotee. They live by vows. And this is what he lived by. So there he went. So he just went to travel to all the holy places, became purified. So he shows that how we can uplift ourselves beyond our bodily designations, how to become cleansed by pilgrimage, and how to approach a guru. So Vidura, he portrayed the power of devotion and self-realization in transcending our origins and, you know, become pure and we could still attain higher truth. So as you'll see in this chapter, it traces this theme all across many beings and, you know, personalities. So Vidura is one example. So this is where he met Maitreya. And this is the segue into the Bhagavad Katha, where this emphasized the power of Bhagavad Katha, discourses, teachings, stories that are just focused on the Supreme Lord. So the points in relation to Bhagavad Katha is that it has a liberating effect. It frees one from material bondage and suffering. And it can actually transport you to the spiritual realm. It has a cleansing potency. You know, cleanses the heart of lust and anger and other contaminations. It's blissful. We could become blissfully absorbed, you see. And anyone, no matter what status, it can lift one up above the bodily designations. And that's blissful. And it gives the guru, it emphasizes the guidance from a guru. And it gives us the essence of Dharma. So Bhagavad Gita transmits spiritual wisdom in a very palatable way. It centers the mind on Krishna. It frees one from our worldly misery and imparts eternal teachings of the soul's innate relationship with the divine. So this is how that devotion is awakened. So just to finish up on Vidura, he played a pivotal role in helping guide his brother, Dhritarashtra, to end his life. So after the Kurukshetra War had destroyed the Kuru dynasty, Vidura returned from his pilgrimage to console and offer guidance to his blind, grief-stricken Dhritarashtra. So he understood how Dhritarashtra was so attached, you know, to his sons, to his kingdom. And that was the root of his suffering. So Vidura actually enlightened him with profound spiritual wisdom and helped him detach from the material world. So he enlightened Dhritarashtra on the eternal self beyond the body and to get free from these illusory attachments. So with those sublime instructions, Vidura, you know, actually convinced Dhritarashtra and he resolved to forsake his kingdom and his remaining family to go to secluded exile in the Himalayas with his wife, Gandhari. You see, so that's nicely described. And this shows there. So now, talking about this Bhagavad Katha, so first we mention about the problem. And here's an interesting topic here. So this is what's happening. We're seeking heart's desire in dissolution's ashes. So we see our quest for happiness is thwarted by tragic events, you see, that happen. Because the soul is going after fleeting shadows. You know, it's not reality. So we see a lone figure here, you know, just he confronts all the smoking ruins of his dreams. But he's unaware of a spiritual reality beyond illusion. So this is what the demon's lives is like. It pivots on this devastating mistake and it just wipes away all their happiness right before their eyes. So that's the key problem. And this chapter highlights the problem is the conditioned soul's illusion and its lust blocking spiritual realization. So, and it shows here how the demons epitomize this state of being completely captivated by lust and ignorance. And they chase after material forms and they, you know, they are just bewildered. So, and then the chapter also discussed the solution. And what is it? It's to cultivate discipline. That's a devotee. He performs austerity, meditation, dispassion, and selfless devotion to the Supreme Lord. And by this, we can rise above all these attachments. So this is because people have a mundane understanding of existence, and they just fix on gross matter. And in the Ishopanishad, there's a nice section in one of the first mantra in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the root of sin is deliberate disobedience of the law of the nature, laws of nature, through disregarding the proprietorship of the Lord. Disobeying the laws of nature or the order of the Lord brings ruin to a human being. Conversely, one who is sober, who knows the laws of nature and is not influenced by unnecessary attachment or aversion, is sure to be recognized by the Lord and thus become eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. So that's nice. And Prabhupada also says in that purport that human beings are not meant to quarrel like cats and dogs, but they must be intelligent enough to realize the importance of the aim of life. So that's the path of avidya, or the advancement of material knowledge for sense gratification, is a path that leads to birth and death. So there's so many nice references in the Ishopanishad that Srila Prabhupada talks about this problem. But we'll go on. So from today's purport, it mentions that we should find a person who knows the science of God, or a tattvavit. So this is what we need. We want to find the tattvavit, one who knows the absolute truth. And Prabhupada mentions that there's three types of self-realized souls, or atmavit or tattvavit, who realize the absolute truth. One is the Brahmavit. Those are the ones trying to understand the absolute through knowledge, and they can approach the impersonal Brahman aspect. And then there's the Brahmavit. They're the Paramatmavit. They're the yogis. They try to realize the absolute truth through meditation. So they approach the Paramatma feature. And then there's the Bhagavadvit, or the Bhagavata, and that's the devotee who approaches the personal feature of Bhagavan. So this is the three types of Atmavit, so we should approach them. So there are benefits. We saw the solution and the problem, but there should be some kind of action that we should take. So it's encouraging us to cultivate spirituality and self-realization through discipline and devotion, and become detached from this illusion. So we'll see through this chapter, it recommends that we should practice austerity, celibacy, meditation, cultivation of knowledge. We mentioned that. Develop deep devotion and service to Krishna. You see, give up our temporary material attachments, and even relations if they're material. So, yeah, give that association of activities driven by lust or ignorance, and perform spiritual rituals, sacrifices to elevate the consciousness. Go to spiritual places of pilgrimage to get purified. And then the main thing is to approach and serve perfected sages, devotees. So we have to replace attachment to temporary pleasures with disciplined cultivation of self-knowledge and devotion to Krishna. So that breaks the cycle of chasing false happiness again and again. So the problem, as we mentioned, is spiritual ignorance causes suffering. The solution is that we have to nourish Vedic wisdom for personal and collective enlightenment, and it calls to actively spread this knowledge in a systematic way to positively transform lives. So from Vidura's example, we understand that our purpose lies in uplifting humanity from suffering born of ignorance toward their spiritual identity. It's almost like a savior or a messiah figure. You know, our mission is to revive this innate God consciousness that liberates people from repetitive misery. So that's what we have to transmit, this divine wisdom exemplify renunciation, purify our consciousness, reveal true Dharma, and manifest these holy places by creating spiritually sanctified places. Wherever we go and chant the holy names of Krishna, that becomes a holy tirtha, you know, where we perform austerities. So this is what it shows, that we can, you know, just a single self-realized being can hugely influence society's consciousness. We see, just see what Prabhupada did. And this is what, there's an interesting verse. And first this one, it says here, there is no scarcity of anything within this world. The only scarcity is of Krishna consciousness. So that's by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Thakura. And so he's referring, as we see in this chapter, from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu about dovetailing. That one is perfectly detached from all materialistic worldly entanglements, not when one gives up everything, but when one employs everything properly for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So this understanding is to be perfect renunciation in yoga. So that's what it is. We have to dovetail everything in Krishna service. So there was an interesting BTG article and about Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Thakura. And his essential message was that everything in existence, including worldly devices, rightfully belongs to God. And it should be employed in service. So rather than rejecting innovations and conveniences, Bhaktisiddhanta taught that they can enhance devotional service and broadcast the glories when used properly. You know, it shows how previously generations of devotees avoided modern amenities. They were wary of distractions. Yet Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Thakura understood that true renunciation means using everything suitably in God's service. And this is exactly what Śrīla Prabhupāda did. You see, you know, he established advanced publishing systems to produce literature, you know, for spreading Krishna consciousness. Actually, Bhaktisiddhānta urged employing powerful printing presses in Krishna's work, all technology, whether microphones, dictaphones, computers, they can amplify spreading transcendental knowledge when dovetailed in divine love. So this is the spiritual teacher's vision. He harmonizes inner purposes with outer tools. So this opens our eyes to see all resources as God's gifts for uplifting humanity. So Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta especially emphasized the importance of the printing press. He called the big mridanga, the brihat mridanga, you see, because the clay drum could only go so far, but with the mridanga, it can be heard for long distances. So this publication is like the brihat mridanga to enlighten people all over the world. That's what Śrīla Prabhupāda did. So with Prabhupāda, he published more than 70 books on spiritualization. You know, he was expert in playing this big mridanga. And Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta personally advised him to publish books about the science of Krishna. And this is what Śrīla Prabhupāda diligently followed in the footsteps of his Guru Maharaj. And so Prabhupāda gladly used everything in Krishna to glorify Krishna. So Śrīla Prabhupāda, he continues to be personally present, actually, through his instructions, and the followers, you know, associate with him by following his instructions. That's how they can associate with Śrīla Prabhupāda. So that's described there, that he lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So, and then in today's purport, it mentions this verse that we see here, Brahmananda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. So in the purport, Śrīla Prabhupāda said that Krishna helps us in third person, as stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Prasad, by the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, one attains the path of salvation, devotional service. If one sincerely searches for spiritual salvation, then Krishna, being situated in everyone's heart, gives him intelligence to find a suitable spiritual master. And by the grace of the spiritual master like Maitreya, one gets the proper instruction and advances in his spiritual life. So that's nicely described there. So out of countless souls, you know, the rare, very fortunate one comes in contact with a bona fide guru who's empowered by Krishna. So Krishna resides, you know, in the heart and fulfills the desires as we wander throughout the universe, undergoing karma, transmigration to lower, higher planets. So Guru and Krishna assists the sincere soul in his perilous journey, you know, so he gets that divine grace. So here is more about this hearing Bhagavad Gita or Hari Gita. I found a really nice, it's a glorification of Sri Raghunath Bhatta. It's called the Sukha Kirtan. It's the Gaudiya Vaishnava Samadhis in Vrindavan. It's from a book by Mahanidhi Swami. And here is glorifying Raghunath Bhatta. And this is kind of brings the point about the Bhagavad Gita. So Raghunath Bhatta embraced the teachings of Lord Chaitanya within his heart. And he met Rupa and Sanatana Goswami in Vraja. And seeing Raghunath, the Goswamis felt overjoyed, floating in the nectar ocean of Radha Krishna's Prema Ras. Together they relished Krishna's katha and tasted spiritual sentiments. Sometimes they showed ecstatic symptoms, such as crying, shivering, and hair standing on end. All the devotees would meet on the bank of the Jamuna, feeling the happiness of pure love for Radha and Krishna. They would laugh and joke. Regularly, Raghunath recited Srimad Bhagavatam. His words sounded just like nectar. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami displayed the topmost example of renunciation. He was completely pure and overflowing with prema. Melodious and pleasing words decorated his speech. Birds and beasts would shiver in bliss, and stones would melt upon hearing his nectarian Bhagavad Gita. Both Gopala Bhatta and Raghunath Bhatta worshipped Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatana Goswamis. So he ends there. This Radha Vallabha Das says, I am drowning in the sea of sense gratification. Please, O Bhatta Raghunath, be kind, accept me, and give me shelter at your lotus feet. So it's nice. So this is what Lord Chaitanya advised, that if you want to learn Bhagavat, then you go to the person Bhagavata, who's a realized soul, not a professional. So this is why our centers are being opened up, just to give people the opportunity to, you know, who are suffering, not only in this life, but in, you know, life after life. So it's our duty to, behalf of Krishna, to, you know, Krishna personally comes to preach and teach, and he left us the Srimad Bhagavatam to spread this to everyone. And so Prabhupada says, he says, the asset, the property is there. We're simply distributing as peons, that's all. We have no difficulty. We just present Bhagavad Gita and then the instructions of Krishna as it is, and then our duty is finished. So that's it. So transformative hearing inspires us. It's absolute in nature. It's universal relevance. We saw Vidura distributed spiritual wisdom and his widely travels. You know, it's just very nicely described there. So here's another nice verse. Anarto pasamam maksakshad bhakti yogam adhokshaje lokshaya janto vidvams chakre satvata samitam. So the material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this. And therefore the learned Vyas compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the supreme truth. So just see, in the heart's hidden recesses, our woes reside, but yet through devotion's link, they subside. And Vyas, who's a wise sage, he compiled this knowledge for us to unveil the path of the divine. And so this is it. So in this way, we can become purified and go back home, back to Godhead. So here's a nice summary of a verse. When one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's what's kind of a way to, a topic to end this particular topic and the chapter that we can get, that if we become serious. So Isn't that, you know, the soul's journey home? Is that, you know, if you just follow the spiritual master's mission, it's tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality guided. And isn't that the soul's journey home? So that was the three topics that we discussed. The summary of the chapter, Vidura, Bhagavad Gita, the problem, the solution, and the benefit. So I'd like to end there and see if anyone has any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu.
In Purport, Prabhupada mentions that the goal of going to pilgrimage places like Vrindavan is purify, right?
Yes.
And at the same time, Rupa Goswami Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says that Kriti Sadhya Bhavet Sadhya Bhava Sasadhana Abhida, that the goal of sadhana is this definition of sadhana. If you do sadhana, but it's not the goal to get realize bhava, to get bhava, then it's not considered even sadhana. So my question is, how does, maybe this is for different level of devotees, this is my suspect, how you say, so my question is, how does one know I'm doing this for purification or for developing bhava?
It's for both. You can't get bhava unless you're purified. And that's what why Vidura was traveling. And Prabhupada says in the purport there that enabled him to meet Maitreya, so that he can get realized, he can get purified, I mean, get that transcendental knowledge to advance. Yeah, it's important. Is that okay? Is that clear? Yeah, sure.
With verse, which was...
Oh, do you want to see the verse too?
Translation of the verse, yeah. One becomes serious to follow me...
That's what's the problem. That's what's described in this chapter.
Okay.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
Is that okay? All right. I hope I'm not confusing you. So it's just a matter of becoming serious to follow the spiritual masters. And then with that resolution, it's tantamount.
No, okay.
See.
This is construct question. So, if one is following the order of spiritual master, he is serious with this, but he don't have any love for Krishna. So, how does he going back toward it? What he will do there? Because he don't have any feeling for Krishna and especially for associates, because. It will be like given us. I don't have any attraction, for example, for Krishna associates, but it will be given us if I just follow, or should we develop this?
Well, you're coming up with a lot of assumptions there, but I think Archita has something to say. Let's let Archita answer.
Lord Chaitanya gave the answer. Nitya Siddhya Krishna Premang Sadhya Kabunai. Shavanada Shura Chitta Karyodai. That love for Krishna is already there. It's not something that you have to manufacture or find anywhere. It's already there in the heart. But it only becomes revealed when you are blessed by Krishna's pure devotee. So, by taking the mission of a spiritual master seriously, you may not feel qualified, you may not feel any attraction at that point. Like most of us didn't. We didn't go searching for Prabhupada to become lovers of Krishna. But by Krishna's arrangement, we came in contact with his pure devotee, and by doing something that pleased Srila Prabhupada, distributing his books, helping him build his temples, cleaning the temples, whatever you do that pleases the spiritual master, then the cleansing process takes place. Then gradually, the love that's already there comes out. It's not that somebody gives it to you or touches you and you become... It's there. But it only becomes revealed when you please Krishna's devotee. By taking his mission seriously, like producing the books, distributing the books, whatever we do that pleases a pure devotee of the Lord, then the Lord from within says, my pure devotee is pleased with you, so I'm going to uncover, take you out of all that darkness that's preventing you from seeing me properly and associating with me properly.
But if I'm leaving body, because anartha nivritti, it's a very, very long process. If I'm living body at the stage of anartha nivritti and I don't have any real attraction manifested, it's there, yeah, it's in the heart, but it's not, it's like a zip, you know. So it's not manifested yet. I don't have any attraction. So anyway, how is this?
It's like taking medicine. You don't have to understand how the medicine works. If you go to a bona fide doctor and he diagnoses you with the, you know, properly, knows this is the disease that you have, and he gives you the right medicine, if you just take that medicine following the prescription, 2 tablets a day, or, you know, or 1 a day or whatever, follow that prescription, unbeknownst to you, the cure will come. You will feel cured and the disease will go away. So that's what's happening. We may be going on day after day, year after year, not realizing that we're getting closer to Krishna. But Prabhupada says that if you follow this process your whole life, Lord Chaitanya himself will come to you at the moment of death and take you. So you may not, even up to the last point, you may not feel that you're purified. But because the pure devotee is pleased with you, then Krishna will take you back to the right destination. See? It's nice, yes. You can come to that point of full realization before the point of death. Some do. That's called Jivan Mukta, where you're liberated even though you're still in this material body. But even if you don't feel like that, you don't feel I'm self-realized, I haven't, you know, uncovered my pure love for Krishna, because Prabhupada is pleased with you, what you've done your whole life, the result will be there. We should have that much faith. I think we can continue this elsewhere.
Jaya, shall we end there? Okay, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Jaya.